the Democrats posted the agenda at 10:01 p.m. on Wednesday night, but the Republican reps searched and never found it. Now, supposedly, the rules state that it has to be posted one full day in advance of the actual meeting day. Well, the Democrats claim that it was posted, as long as it's posted by 11:59 rather than 24 hours in advance. Which, so there's some gray area there. Or some would say there's no gray area. I guess you'd have to look at the statute and how it's written. Is it, can it be misinterpreted? As a lot of statutes, by the way. Very well possible. All right, so in other words, it's got to be posted in advance, 24 hours in advance, a day in advance. So when you say a day in advance, if you post something at 11:59 tonight, let's just play a game. All right, let's just speak hypothetically here. Today is Monday, the 24th of February. So if something gets posted on the legislative website at 11:59 tonight, that should take place tomorrow. Is that fair? Because let's say you go to bed at 10 o'clock, and when you go to bed at 10 o'clock, you check out the agenda, you look at the schedule, and say, hey, nothing is listed. Okay, I'm not going to, I don't have a committee meeting tomorrow. Look at that. I have tomorrow off. I can go to my job. I can go tend to my family, blah, blah, blah. But then you wake up, and thinking that you're going to work, and you find out that, no, there's a committee meeting. And you're saying, no, I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night, and nothing was posted. Only to learn that they posted it at 11:59 p.m. So technically, it's still Monday the 24th. It's still technically that day before the meeting. But it's not a full day before the meeting. You catch my drift? It's not 24-hour notice. It's more like 9 hours, if that, 10 hours maybe. Okay, so therein lies the problem, and I think that's what's going on. I have very ambiguous notes when it comes to this, so I'm just trying to interpret it in my own way and give it to you in layman's terms. Is it sneaky? Oh, I would say that's sneaky. So let's discuss this a little bit further and bring on our next guest. He is the state representative, Joe Paletta. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Thank you again for having me on the show.
We love having you on, Joe. We really do. You're fantastic. Our listeners love hearing from you.
Oh, thank you. And I sit on that committee, as you know, and it was a circus on Thursday.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So, all right, so they didn't give ample notice, or not just ample notice, what's within the guidelines for notice, correct?
Correct. So I think what you just said was absolutely correct. If it was the day before, if it was even 11:59, you could make an argument and say the day. But the statute says a day, and a day is not 10 minutes. It's not 10 seconds. It's not 5 hours. It's 24 hours. So we know it was not available at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. We also know that originally the chairs of the committee said it was posted at 10:01 p.m. on Wednesday night. But then we found out that it was handed into LCO, which is a nonpartisan group that would get it on the CGA website, mm-hmm. at 10:01. So now we had folks that were on the computer early in the morning watching the labor hearing, or excuse me, the public health hearing on the anti-vax and vaccinations bill, mm-hmm. and they said it wasn't posted at 3:01 a.m. Then another document said it was posted at 7:10 a.m. That would have made it about 7 hours before the meeting. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
So we had a parliamentary procedure question, and it did burn up quite a bit of time, but the chairs could not answer questions that we had. We appealed the ruling of the chair, and ultimately it led us with just a few minutes left in the meeting. As you know, there was a 5 p.m. deadline to raise concepts, and all the bills on that agenda died. And by the way, the bills that were on that agenda, mostly bad for business. So it was a good thing for Republicans. It was a big win for Republicans.
Yeah, so the result was a good win for the Republicans because a lot of terrible bills that had potential to pass more or less died. So that's the good aspect of it. But there's something sneaky that's going on that's actually not a good thing. And it's not a good thing for the citizens of the state because it just shows, once again, abuse of power, abuse of that one-party rule for the last 40 years. And there really is a difference between the word a and the word the. Particularly when it comes to scheduling meetings, a day before or the day before has two very different meanings.
Correct. And if we're in the essence, in spirit of trying to be bipartisan, I think it's worth noting, and this is a little inside baseball, but, you know, your listeners, I'm sure, pay attention to what's going on in that building every day. If you looked at three meetings that we had, including last Thursday, there was about, with the 12 items on the agenda Thursday, there were probably 55 concepts that were supposed to be raised. Again, 12 of them died on Thursday. Out of those 50 or semi-concepts, two of them were Republican concepts. Now, for a caucus that has 60 seats out of 151 and 13 seats in the Senate, I think we were really treated unfairly. And I even think there were folks on the other side of the aisle sitting there like, okay, that was not fair. We had a caucus bill that our leader put in that had to do with collective bargaining that would have fixed some issues that are broken. All we were asking for was a hearing. They didn't even give us that courtesy. And if you look at the bills that they did give us, because they said, oh, we gave you two Republican bills, they were the bills that they handpicked that were, I guess you could say, the ones that they could swallow, you know, the ones that they wanted to do, not the ones that the ranking members had preferred. That was unfair. And all we're asking for is to be treated fairly.
So how surprised are you at this? I mean, it's good to note that you found some of your colleagues on the other side of the aisle that were like, yeah, I guess that's not right. Okay, so fine. But what are you going to do about it?
Well, in going forward, I get along with everyone in the building. I think all of the Democrats, I think deep down inside, they want to do what's best for the state. We just have different ideas on how to get there. But it doesn't mean you shut someone up and don't even hear their opinion, especially a leader, someone who's elected by the caucus to lead their party, and they're asking for the courtesy of a bill, and you just totally shun it off and don't even want to bring it up as a concept.
Yeah, because
that's just ridiculous.
You're right. What this can result in is if, especially if you're a Republican and you're counting on the postings of these meetings, and you're sitting there going, when you're led to believe when the night before, and it's 10, 11 o'clock, whatever it is, and you're like, yeah, I mean, by this time, if nothing's posted, you can start planning your next day. A lot of people have full-time jobs or other family responsibilities, and only to find out that you find out the next day you missed a committee meeting. What's sad is that that could happen when you're taking committee votes, you know, and imagine missing a committee vote because they post it at 11:30 or 11:59 the night before that, you know, the schedule for the next day. And you go to bed thinking, 11 o'clock, 11:30, 11:45. I got nothing tomorrow, apparently, only because they post it at 11:59 and you find out after the fact. Yeah, that's sneaky. That's not.
And Gary, I think it's worth noting that a rule is a rule. So, you know, we opened up the General Assembly 3 weeks ago, and we adopted the joint rules. You know, a rule is a rule. If we don't follow the rules, then what do we have left up there? I mean, and that goes with anything in society, right? I mean, you know, you get caught at the wheel with alcohol, you're going to get a DUI. You murder someone, you're going to get life in prison.
Yeah, but you know what, Joe? You're right. I don't disagree with you. But let's face it. You know, when you've been in power for so long, you take things for granted, and you're like, well, it's our way or the highway. And this has happened before. Maybe not this specific incident, but that. Oh, how do I put it? That it's our way. That's what the majority party kind of thinks. It's your opinion doesn't matter, and it's our way or the highway, like it or lump it.
Right, and I think a lot of them are realizing this year, in particular with the saga with the tolls, that they are going to have to start listening to the majority of the people, and the majority of the people did not want tolls, and that's why the bill died, because as we talked about last time when I was on this program, some people depend on this paycheck that we get, and they know that they're going to be voted out if they supported that proposal. So a lot of them backed down from it, and it died. And as much as, I don't want to say the Labor Committee in this session doesn't have any controversial bills, because it does, but some of them aren't as big as the tolling proposal. So, you know, they probably figure, okay, well, we could vote these out of committee. What's the big deal? there's a big deal, and we're going to talk on a lot of these bills.
Who?
Because we need to bring out the devil's in the details.
Yeah.
There are a lot of details in some of these bills.
I always say that. You're absolutely right, Joe. The devil is always in the details. Who is the chair of the Labor Committee?
So there's a Senate and a House chair. The Senate chair is Senator Julie Kushner from Danbury, and the House chair is Representative Robin Porter from Hamden. You know, two friends of mine. I don't want to sit here and badmouth any fellow legislators.
I know you're not, Joe. There's a reason why I was asking that. I'm sorry. Their names again are?
Sure. Julie Kushner and Robin Porter.
Oh, Robin Porter. Okay, I know Robin Porter. I don't know who the other person is. Must be a
She's
freshman.
She's new. She just the senator won the seat down in Danbury from the former senator Mike McLaughlin.
Yeah, I remember Mike. Of course, I remember Mike. You don't forget a mustache like that. So of course, I remember Mike. He's actually a good guy.
Yeah, well,
but here's my thing though. I mean, if you bring this to their attention, couldn't they say? Boy, you know what? You bring up a good point. I'm so sorry that this happened. There was no malice. There was no intent. It was just a strict oversight. You know what? My apologies. I hope you accept it. And let me do this. Let me cancel the meeting and repost it and do it the right way. Now, if they truly were sorry and sincere in that, they would do that. But they had the meeting anyhow, didn't they?
They did, and that's because there was a 5 p.m. deadline to get those bills raised on Thursday. And, Gary, it goes back to your original point there. You know, a little courtesy, a little communication could have went a long way. Instead, you know, there was a little arrogance and, okay, we'll have the meeting at 3 p.m., whatever. And we had brought it to their attention at the beginning. They realized that they were up against the clock. They kept going, but, you know, didn't get anywhere with that meeting.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So are you the
ranking member of Labor?
Correct. I'm the ranking member, and Senator Craig Miner is the Senate ranking member. So we have a great team on that committee.
Oh, yeah.
As you know,
of course,
from being up in the building, that is a contentious committee. We dealt with minimum wage. We dealt with paid family medical leave. There's a ton of bad bills this session up on the agenda, one of which is entitled Connecticut's version of the Green New Deal, which scares the hell out of me, quite frankly. We also have a bill on predictive shift scheduling. So, you know, if your employer calls you out of work, doesn't give you 3 days notice, he'll have to pay you time and a half, even though you don't go in. I mean, it's unbelievable, some of the bills that are going to be brought up this session.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
I'm sure I'll be back on talking to you about
it. Yeah, I was going to say, we only have less than a minute left, and we were supposed to be talking about this. Were those two of the bills that died?
Well, no,
I didn't,
Gary,
think so.
They brought them up in the first meeting.
Yeah,
we spoke on the Green Deal. Believe me, anybody who's comparing Connecticut to California and saying we need to be more like AOC and her thinking in New York and California and all these other states that are in debt scares the heck out of me.
Why would you want to model yourself after a failing state? It kills me. I mean, listen, but we do have to run. All right, this is what I'm going to do, Joe. I'm going to have Christian reach back out to you. If not right now, because the show is still going on. All right, so maybe during the week, we want to have you on, if not next week, the week after, and we're going to talk about those two bills during our segment, okay? Because right now, I've got 20 seconds here before I got to go to break. So we definitely want to hear about these. No, thank you so much.